All right, here we go. Welcome to Wake in the Future. I am Pat.
Good morning, guys. I am Joel.
Good morning indeed. All right, guys, it's Saturday morning, November the 5th, 2022. We wanted to kind of continue on a little bit, guys, talking on the history, I guess. So, I mean, general history on education, what we've seen happen after, 1900s, basically. I wanted to start with a quote from Elwood Cubberley. We talked about him a little bit last time Joel and I recorded on education. What was that, about a week ago now, Joel? I think something like
Yeah,
that.
something.
Anyhow, so this was he was Stanford's dean of education, the first dean of education at Stanford. And this was Public School Administration, 1916, page 338. Our schools are, in a sense, factories in which raw products are to be shaped and fashioned into products to meet the various demands of life. It is the business of the school to build its pupils according to the specifications laid down. Every manufacturing establishment that turns out a standard product or series of products of any kind maintains a force of efficiency, experts to study methods of procedure and to measure the test, the output of its works. Building pupils demands continuous measurement of production to see if it is according to specifications and the elimination of waste in manufacture. It's an interesting thing to write for a dean of education.
Yeah, well, he is he's also a known eugenicist,
Well,
and
yeah, like so many.
we'll dive into that in a few. And I've said it before that this compulsory schooling, what public schooling, whatever you want to call it, was capital. It was capitalism. If you're going to promote capitalism and you're going to get obedient workers, and also the other thing that gets we need consumers, right? We need people to constantly buy shit, buy stuff that they don't need. So, what better setting than a school to start early on and just start grooming these people. And as we've seen, if you go back early when these schools first started, like, parents were not down with this. It took a long time to implement, but I think, like, this stuff somehow, Pat, it gets lost on how, we talk about how where we are with society, and we talk about the media, we talk about social media, we talk about TV, we talk about all these things, but how do they actually, and how do they actually groom society to get exactly what they want? And it's right here in front of us. It
Well,
starts when a child is five, and we never talk about it.
yeah. Well, what is it Hegel said about history?
Oh, the only thing we learn from history is we don't learn from history.
Yeah,
And
yeah.
that's paraphrasing. It's not an
No,
exact
no,
quote, but
no.
it's right along those lines.
Yeah.
And they understood that they had to destroy the family unit. They had to destroy critical thinking. And there's a couple other quotes in there, Pat, that I think that we should
Yeah.
go
Well,
off with.
I'm gonna put it in the show notes, guys. Because basically, it's just an article. Die mythographer die. Something from back in like 06, somebody wrote. And there are a ton of different quotes, people from William Torrey Harris, Woodrow Wilson, John Dewey, just different quotes that were either spoken in lecture or written about in different books and studies and things like that. And basically, when you look at these, most of them are older. Some are from the 70s and the 80s, but most of them are from the late 1800s, early 1900s. And this is something, and by reading these different quotes and seeing them in the progression, that's how you're able to see. This is not something that they just decided on. Like, I know the big one that floats around on occasion, and I think I was reading an article earlier, Joel, that you sent me. I think I have it here from the New American, talking about are children dumber today than a century ago? And it uses the eighth grade test that was given, and I think it was from Kentucky. Let me see here. No, 1912 Bullitt County, Kentucky test required for eighth grade education. You see that bouncing around. You'll see it on different social media sites on occasion, this, that, and the other thing. And it always uses that one as the baseline. Like, hey, look back here in 1912. But the reality is in 1912, I think if you kind of look at it, right? Yeah, there were a lot of kids that were going to school, but there were also a lot of kids that weren't going to school because they were working on the family farms, and it was a different way of living back then, you know. So yeah, there were a lot of kids that went to school, and yeah, maybe the test showed a different level of intelligence or intellect and a different level of, you know, schooling, whatever it may be. But the reality of it is they were very they were already moving forward at a very fast pace at that time, 1912, on the entire public education system, on how it would turn, you know, everyday citizens, right? Because I mean, we're cattle to them, into obedient servants of the state, right? And it doesn't matter if you're working for the state or if you're working for, you know, a mega corporation. Hell, even if you're working for the small guy, right? We're all basically working for the state, because what happened in 1913 with the income tax and the rest is, you know, they were able to get us to all be living and working to pay the state, right? If it weren't for us living and working and paying them through our taxation, the state wouldn't even exist in the form that we know it today. And you know, people can argue, oh well, you know, it's a necessity, this, that, and the other thing, and whatever, that's neither here nor there. But the reality is they were able to set that up. So using an old test like that, sure, you can kind of get some contrast. You know, I mean, today you have kids that, you know, they're doing well in school, they can't read or write in cursive, right? You know, they're doing well in school, but they still think that because they decided that the way they came up to 24 times 24 equaling whatever number they decide on, and hey, I showed you my work. I see, look what I've done here.
336.
It's true. What is it, Joel? Say it
No, I
again.
think it's like
I had to throw a good one in because I knew you'd get it quick.
I can do it.
Yeah, well, but you
336,
see what I'm saying. I mean,
576, yeah.
yeah, you know, but
So
you see what I'm saying. You know, this is the reality is, you know, so this article here was really good because you know, he talks a lot about intelligence versus knowledge, you know, memorization skills versus critical thinking skills, et cetera. So
yeah, and you know, the other quote that I wanted to touch on here, and I think this is what we see right here: the children who know how to think for themselves spoil the harmony of the collective society, which is coming, where everyone would be interdependent. And you know, you don't have to dig too far into that. You know, we can see it. Each child, each year, here's Cubberly again. Each year, the child is coming to belong more to the state and less to the parent, and we can see it. You know, at the age of 5, we give off our kids, and we don't even realize it. People just it it's
Well,
we're a
it's a
product
societal norm.
of our environment. This is what you do. You send them to school, and all of a sudden, like, all of these demands are coming up, right? And the parent just goes along with it. We go along with it, and it's amazing. And the other one here, and I just got this book. Plans are on, and here it is. Plans are underway to replace community, family, and church with propaganda, education, and mass media. Okay, look at that. 1901. They were telling us about the plans for mass media, and the stuff is out there. That's actually the book that comes from the book. I sent you a picture of the other day, Pat, that I got in the mail. And that is social control,
Yeah.
and
Edward A. Ross.
it's unbelievable. So I mean, I think really, if we were ever to take a take a stand and we look at what these people are talking about, it has to start at the community level. It's never,
yeah, of course.
We can never go up against these, when all of this started and these plans had to come out, I've stated this before. I mean, it was the Carnegies, the Rockefellers, who's the other big one? I can't think of it right now. The JP Morgans.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, okay. All the same players.
You're going up against, resources that
not just financial resources either.
No,
on that.
No, political. No,
political resources, exactly. Well, when you look at it, even just below the first layer, the public education, it's all political. It's there. Everybody knows that one, right? It's all politicized. You have public schools that will turn on CNN. You have public schools that are going to put, literature out there that isn't even, it's, first of all, it's not readable for anybody. Nobody should be reading it, but it's sexualized. It's all the rest of these things. And a lot of that stuff started to come out in the past few years. And there are a lot of people that are out there trying to fight it, trying to have these things removed. But a lot of it is also, hey, we need to get on these boards. We need to do this. We need to participate. And the issue is sure, that is going to give some solutions, right? That will help a little bit because that will give you a little bit more say, at least on things of that nature. But what it doesn't do is it doesn't eliminate the government involvement in the education system. It does not get the government out of there. So with public schools, they're never going to allow for the government to be eliminated, right? So this is why they have standardized testing, MCAS and all these other testing that they give these kids, these standardized. And I can remember, I think I started around sixth grade. I would just go through any standardized test they would put in front of me. I would just go abacadabra, ABA, and just fill it out. And here you go. Cause I didn't care. It didn't matter to me. I saw through that illusion very young. But a lot of kids these days, they're under the assumption that, something like that, they have to excel. Oh my God, if I don't excel in this, then I'm not going to be able to be a productive member of society. I won't be able to function and go. And really, when you look at these tests are actually, they're more for the teachers and the school districts so that the feds can take a look and make sure that they're towing the line that they're told to tow and that they're not stepping outside of it. And this is something where, you get somebody like John Taylor Gatto, who was basically removed as a teacher in the New York City system as a result of his unwillingness to participate in this. He wasn't changing. He was actually changing the way that he was teaching. And he was taking kids, like you said, before we started recording, taking kids from a special education class and saying, wait a minute, this kid's not special education. He's just not being educated. And then turning them into somebody that could get an A on something.
Well,
and that's,
yeah,
one of the key reasons.
Well, a big part of like what he did is he pounced on them once he saw this the children interested in something.
Yeah.
And he told people to go with it.
Almost as if people are individuals.
And that's just it. That's exactly it. That's 100% it. And then when you go into his story, you could see how much control now the New York Board of Education or whatever you want to call it now. He had gone on a leave of absence because of a health issue.
Yeah.
Okay. And then when he came back, all of a sudden his teacher's license was gone. There was all the paperwork had been destroyed.
Yeah.
And he was on a leave of absence. And if it wasn't for one brave secretary who said, no, absolutely, I handled that paperwork, that like he's telling the truth.
Right.
He never would have gotten any of his licenses back.
Mm.
But the amount of control that they have is right there before us. And a lot of us, myself included, Pat included, our children went to public schools. There's nothing we can do about that now. Okay. And
Well,
I
there
and,
is.
and
There is actually.
well, yeah.
We're gonna have somebody come on and talk about it.
Well, there is, and it's something that we can do at home with
Right.
our children
Yes.
and dealing with being inside of the system. But a huge part of fighting any of this is the humility to say, I fucked up. Like,
Yeah.
and I'm a part of this problem. If we can't say that, then
Well,
like, yeah.
how do you start to correct the problem if you can't face it,
If you don't
right?
understand it,
Yeah. Well,
we gotta do more.
and part of it is, all right, obviously homeschooling, guys, right? I mean, homeschooling is huge. It is super important. There are plenty of groups out there that you can get involved in with homeschooling. Unschooling is going to be something that we're going to have a chat with somebody, our buddy out in California with. He's done this with his children, and I believe is still continuing to do this. That is a subject that unschooling, I can't even, I won't even be able to necessarily define it for you guys right now. That's why we're going to have somebody come on. But it also brings up, so anybody out there, guys, homeschooling, unschooling, whatever it may be, contact us, wakingthefutureatprotonmail.com, because this is something we want to continue to talk about, the education system and the processes that are being used. So anybody with information, obviously hit us up, guys, because we want to have a convo. Joel and I can only kind of scratch surfaces on a lot of these things. And then we want you guys to join us and help us connect some more of these dots, because right now, as I was saying before, Joel, with people getting involved in on the school boards and things like that, right? The parent committees, all these different things, you will have some say and some sway, right? We will be able to eliminate some of these insane people that are sitting on these boards right now and basically by default are just being put into the position over and over and over again. We see that a lot in local politics as well. Nobody runs against these people. Nobody stands up to oppose them, because nobody wants to be involved in it. And that's, I mean, I'm just as guilty as anybody else, because who the hell would want to be involved in these things, right? The absolute insanity. The issue that I raise is this: is by getting involved on these boards and these committees, are we actually going to be able to change the system? Well, if the system starts up the top and works its way down and we're down on the bottom, can we actually do it? Well, yeah, over a very long period of time, if we work our way all the way to the top. But I think honestly, we've made it to a point in society as a whole, when it comes to education specifically, there is no way of changing it. What we need to do is we need to start anew. And that's where the homeschooling and the unschooling and all the rest of these things comes into play. Is that's where we really need to start. We need to say to their system, you know what? Your system has failed us. It has failed us over and over and over again. It is beyond apparent. In fact, we can look back into the late 1800s, early 1900s, and we can see how you guys designed it to fail us. And by failure, I mean, why is it we want to produce good citizens that will follow orders, that will do as they're told, and that will work even if they're miserable at what they do for their entire lives to pay the state, get a couple of scraps for themselves, maybe be able to eke out around 65, 70, although now that age has gone up into 70, 75 at least, if not more, and stop working for a few years so that we can die of cancer or Alzheimer's or some other thing that they give us through all the aluminum sprayed in the airs, all of the chemicals put into our foods, and all the rest of the ways that they and the injections and all the pharmaceutical, all these ways that they're murdering us slow over time. This is what we need to really continue to address, and that's a much larger mountain to climb, isn't it?
Yeah, and then it really is, and it reminds me, there was I just went over to the last episode that we did on this in Day Tripper. I forgot about this comment. BDN's comment was great too.
Wow,
BDN, I
surprising.
love you. I love you. I'm being extremely sarcastic, but BDN, I do love you, buddy. I do, man. So Teach Your Baby to Read by Glenn Doman. And I mentioned this to my aunt, who homeschooled all seven of her kids. She goes, yeah, that's a must. That's a must. You
Okay.
know, some of my kids were reading by three. most of my kids, but by four and a half, were reading, and it goes on the same thing. And this is involvement with our children. We were sitting there reading them a book, and the interest, the kid all of a sudden points at a word, or now they're showing interest, and that's when you pounce on them.
Yeah,
you pounce on them, and it's.
Yeah.
I mean, when we go back and I understand, you know, all the things on Ben Franklin, I understand he was this high ranking, Mason and all that. I understand all of that stuff. But when you look at actual Ben Franklin and how he learned, he went out of the formal school setting, and he was a horrible, horrible math student, but he made it in his mind that he was going to learn math. Going to learn math. And he taught himself geometry and trigonometry, and these are things that like would make any high school kid these days blush. You know,
let me interject quick. One of the big arguments I hear from people a lot is not everybody is as self-motivating as you. All right. And I've heard that from somebody close to me say it, using me as the example. You know, not everybody's as self-motivated as you are, Pat. And to that, I say, well, I'm not overly self-motivated. It's a lot of by necessity, you know, for where I am in life. There was a time in my life, all right, where I had no self-motivation. My only motivation, honestly, was that I was a slave in a system that I was unaware of being a slave of, right? And I needed money. So what I decided on was, well, obviously, these buildings that I'm locked in, that I have to raise my hand just to use the bathroom, or that I have to beg for permission to do absolutely anything, these are not a place for me, right? So I left those institutions really early. And what I found out very quickly was that I did enjoy working, right? That at least, you know, that's what I was led to believe. And that's part of that indoctrination that I picked up. But I enjoyed working. What I enjoy is I enjoy working with my hands. I enjoy the visual aspects of things. And so I excelled, right? I found, you know, jobs, positions, places. You know, I found myself at a very young age, like 14, 15 years old, working out in the fields, right, for a farm. All right. I was working with a bunch of Vietnamese people that come over every year as immigrants and work the fields because they didn't have enough people. I mean, it was me and like one other white person out in the field. And, you know, we're working with all these Vietnamese immigrants and all the rest, and a very hard, hard, intensive labor. I've done landscaping. I drilled artesian water wells, all these different jobs. And always in these jobs, what I found was I was working with my hands, and I had to actually use a bit of this thing up here in order to, you know, get my production better, or to, you know, work through problems that would, you know, be in front of me at all times, right? I mean, there's always something, right? That perfect day on the in the construction field is always happening, right? Anyone who's in construction knows every day is just a perfect day. You never have to problem solve in order to get through that day. You know, but it's what somebody sees as self-motivating, because, oh, all of a sudden, here I am at 42 years old. I know a whole lot of stuff, right? I can build stuff, I can do stuff, and I can make it look as if I'm a smart guy. But really what it is it's all these years of struggles and failures along the way that I was able to kind of learn these things.
Well, that's, you know,
I don't know where ultimately I was going with that.
I don't know, but I mean, it's funny too, because when you look at these elite schools,
self-motivation, that's what it was.
And like when you look at these elite schools and you find out like what they're really looking for, and I'm talking top notch of the top schools, okay? I'm talking upper tier of Harvard, okay? They're not.
Oh, you mean the one that's going to have the black only graduations now?
Exactly. There are the
focal so points woke to keep. That you bring back segregation.
Yeah, you know, we gotta, you know, and they gotta do. We know why they do that. They do that because that's a way more hot button topic. It gets the emotions going. We can laugh, and it's like, oh no, that wasn't planned. They did that completely by accident. Yeah, but they look for the individual, the one that can think for himself. Yeah. When you're looking at a college application for Harvard and these upper schools, they want the person that thinks for themselves, and takes risks, right? They don't want the football player that can do a team sport. They want the rock climber that will go out and do something on your own. And that's how you, like, every once in a while, you know, they're looking for people that will do things for themselves. And it amazes me that it's just, I don't know. I don't get it. I don't get it sometimes, man.
Well,
I
it's
just.
we're up against 100 almost 50 years, actually about 150 years specifically, just from when they really the inception of the plan to the to where we are today, right? I mean, you're going into the later 1800s where they started this planning for the type of education system that they needed. And you know, understanding everything that they've done and being able to talk about it in a 30-minute segment or whatever it is we're doing is impossible, right? I mean, we could read 100 different articles, we could read 25 different books, and start to really grasp on these things. But the reality is, you know, looking back then to seeing where we are today, we can connect a lot of those dots along the way. You know, this idea, like here's the major idea of today, right? If you want to be anybody, you have to do further education. You have to go to college. Now, and we all, I use them all too often. So F you, bro. But no, harmful contents. Made a con He made a comment when he and I were talking the last time when you were down in Florida, and basically it was, you know, he feels like everybody should at least one semester take a single college course just to get outside the norm, just to read the things that you may not normally read, or to be required to do some things that you might not normally do. And to a degree, I can see where he's at with that, and it makes some sense because it'll get you outside of your box a little bit and all that. But this idea, you know, and that's different. This idea that if I don't go to a 4-year or 2-year college and get this piece of paper that tells me that I am something, right, then I'm not going to be able to be anything. I'm a guy, I got a good enough diploma, right? I got my GED my freshman year or whatever it was of high school. And, you know, here I am. I wouldn't say that I'm a highly successful guy financially. I'm a failure. But I'm a pretty successful guy in my own eyes and how I view myself because I can do things. Right. Now, does that mean somebody that goes to college, gets a degree, and goes on to do whatever it may be that they do isn't success? No, because
Definitely
it's an
true, man.
individual measurement, right? Right.
Exactly.
So,
Exactly.
but the
Yeah.
idea that if I don't go to college, I won't be successful, that is what we need to kind of that stigma, I guess, that needs to go, because now here we are. We've got an entire generation that are just straddled with so much debt, they'll never be able to pay it off, which is again part of the slave system design that we're in. And they'll never be able to pay this debt off. Oh, but don't worry. Joey B is going to come in and he's going to, you know, get rid of that debt for these people.
He's
Come
going to
on.
do nothing. We know
No, well,
that.
no, you know, I mean, they're actually, I heard, and I'll go off topic here quick only because I mentioned this one, Joel. I heard they're actually going to mail checks out to people. They're not just going to like make the debt go away. They're actually going to mail checks to people that they can actually cash. So, you know, then it's up to them. So we're dealing with people that took out, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars in student loan debt for a piece of paper that's probably not going to help them a hell of a lot. You know, anyhow, but again, part of the
Unbelievable. People that can't
slave
do,
system
they
design, you
can't even
know.
do basic math and realize that once they take in all their debt and add up all the interest, that they're really in reality averaging nothing, not much more, than the average person. You know, look at how easy it is to get a government loan for school, but try to go get a small business loan.
Oh no.
Try to go, you know, it's
Even
all
with
of these
a
things.
really good business plan laid out, you'll struggle with that unless you're somebody that's established in the slave system with a great credit score, et cetera, and so forth.
Yeah,
You
you
know?
need all of these,
Yeah.
you know,
Trust me,
you.
I know. I wasn't able to get a good business loan because at the time my credit score wasn't high enough for them when I had started my driving school.
So is it any different than a social credit
Well, no,
score.
that's exactly what it is. It's your social credit
That's
score.
the
Just,
thing, is this tier-based society that they needed, and Pat made a great point about like success. Like what is success? It's like I'm reading this book to right there. Mutant message down under about a doctor that went over and she hung out with the Aborigines for a few months. And it's like, you talk about success and they call them like the primitive ones, right? But there's no cancer, there's no degenerative diseases, there's no heart issues. And like they have a real relationship with nature, right? Like all of this stuff. And it's like we live inside of Orwell's 1984, and we don't even realize it because there's no because the setting is a little bit different, right? It just amazes me how distracted. And I saw it when I was down in Florida, and I would just sit there and be like, oh my God,
Well,
what
just, I
it's
mean,
not easy of really understanding things.
you
It's
don't
not.
have to have four walls around somebody in order to keep them imprisoned. And that's what they've done. And I would consider myself imprisoned as well. My mind is a bit more free, because I'm aware of a lot of these things, but
I
my
was.
life and how I live, I'm stuck inside this system as well. It's one of those things where, I mean, some of my successes have put me to where I am today, right? So I mean, okay, I have a beautiful daughter. I have a pretty decent apartment that I rent. I want to be able, I got a vehicle. I have these things, right, that on the outside scream success to certain people. But really, in order to maintain living in this successful life, right, what do we have to do? We have to go out there and we have to put forth our labor in order to pay the state, in order to pay, ourselves, in order to, and especially nowadays, live, if we're lucky, paycheck to paycheck, right? Maybe we can squirrel away a couple bucks that's stolen from us through inflation and all the rest. But again,
Well, the thing is that I don't get is people that, they've gotten people to the point where like getting a check from the government every month is acceptable, right? Like, does anybody have like any sort of self-worth
One could
at
argue with you, Joel, that
all?
that's actually a very smart way to go about things, simply because if our money is worthless and we're already a slave, like I'm a slave because I have to go to work every day and I work and do the and I get, paid for my labor, right? It is wouldn't it be just as smart to do absolutely nothing? And get
No,
paid
because
for
I'm
it
not
anyways.
growing. I'm not
I'm
like
being very
I know you're
sarcastic.
being. I know you're. But it's just like, but we've got people that are okay with that. It's okay. I'm just gonna chill. I'm gonna get my check, and this is all that I'm gonna do with my life. And I understand the system, but I also understand that if I go to work for somebody, it's under my conditions. And Pat, you've seen me walk when my conditions are not met. I am not afraid of going broke to stand up for my moral values. It's like the whole thing when I talked about it where I was working. And actually, we just got an email. They were going to try to implement this testing thing for COVID, and the company I work for has decided that that's not going to happen. So I lucked out on that. But like for a second, I was thinking about like okey-doking tests or doing, and I'm like, wait, no. Or even the what is it? The religious exemption. Like, no, that requires way too much debt. I'm crossing the line of the threshold of how involved I'm going to be in their system. Okay. I understand where I'm at, and it's not something I'm not willing to do. My first of all, I'm not religious. I don't even believe in organized religion, so why would I want a religious
Wow.
exemption?
That
Like,
would be I don't know. I kind of felt that way for a while myself, and No, I'm not religious, but spirituality, believing in something greater than yourself makes you religious by definition, I guess,
Oh,
inside their system, which you
okay.
do. So, but no,
Okay.
absolutely.
I'm
I mean,
religious.
but here's the thing, and again, to kind of go with something Harmful was talking about is, this is us going downstream, looking for a rock or a branch to grab hold of to at least slow us down from flowing downstream. Or at least to guide us slightly. And if
And
we're
I
gonna
get
have
that.
and if we utilize their system slightly, we can do things. I wanted to kind of to close a little bit here, Joel, with one last quote. Justice H. Walter Krosky. He said or wrote this back in 2008. Primary purpose of the educational system is to train school children in good citizenship, patriotism, and loyalty to the state and the nation as a means of protecting the public welfare.
There we
Just
go,
let that sink in, guys.
the Masonic belief that
They
we
know
need
better
the
than we.
state. We need the state to protect us from ourselves. We're incapable of critical thinking and problem solving, and that's the, one of the biggest issues is that I see coming out of the school system these days is the people just they need to be told what to do or how to do it, and if it's anything. And anything out of the norm, like when I'm at work with the new guy, you teach him how to do something, and he does great with how you teach it in perfect conditions. But then all of a sudden, conditions aren't perfect, and he's like, he comes to me, he's like, you can't do it. And I'm
Again,
like,
you're lying about there not being perfect conditions on a job site, Joel. Come on,
and
man.
he and
Stop
he's like,
lying.
he's like, I'm like, he's like, you can't do it. I'm like, what do you
Well,
mean you can't do it? What if you move this out of the way? What if you cut what? What if you just used your fucking brain?
that was like the young kid I had that I was like, hey man, we're gonna do some lap siding, and I'm like, all right, I'm just gonna give you measurements. Can you read a tape measure? Yeah, show me. Okay, you can read a tape measure. All right, can you run this chop saw? I think so. That's not the answer to can you run a chop saw? Am I gonna be picking your fingers up at the end of the day? Fake it till you make it. Don't work all the time, especially when you're using certain power tools. I'm like, no. He anyway. So,
But
guys,
that's what would
last thing
happen
I'll say,
is.
Joel, before I give it back to you to close out, guys. We do want to continue doing this education talk and the history of education, including more solutions, homeschooling, unschooling, et cetera. So anybody out there, if you're doing this or if you've researched it a lot, whatever it may be, if you want to join us, hit us up, wakingthefutureprotonmail.com. Let's get something set up because we want to hear from you guys. We definitely want to keep it going. Coming up in the next week, now that Joel's back, we do have some returning guests and others coming back on the show and joining us. So we're going to keep moving with these guest segments because Joel and I really enjoy them, and we kind of hope you guys do as well. I think you guys do anyways.
Yeah, and this education stuff is so it's so deep and it's so involved and it was such an almost perfectly orchestrated plan. And all we can do is really we can really just scratch the surface. We can point we can point you in the right directions. If anybody wants to know where to start or they have a particular interest in what they were doing, please email us at wakingthefutureatprotonmail.com. I have a great list of resources. There's many books out there. Like I said, I just got that Social Control by Ross, and it's like, it's amazing that you look at stuff written 122 years ago, and you say, wow, they had a crystal ball, and they did, but they didn't have a crystal ball. They had an understanding of the human mind and
And they
society,
had a plan, a
And
detailed
they had
plan.
patience. They knew they weren't going to come in and do this all at once. And that's what we see over 150 years. We don't learn from our history. The state is our daddy, and we're going to groom people to understand that. And not only them, but their parents. We're going to make it completely normal. Whereas in the 1850, when you went into parents' homes and said, "We're going to take your kid at 5 years old and take him for 10 months out of the year from 8 in the morning till 3 o'clock," and they said, "What?" Yeah, no, no, you're not. No, that's not going to go down. But they were
Yeah.
over time able to do it. But as always, guys, thanks for listening. If you'd like to support Waking the Future, head over to awaken-italia.com. Pick up one of those Free from the Herd shirts that Pat has on. And as always, don't take Pat's word for it. Definitely do not take my word for it. Do your own research, come to your own conclusions and your own truth. Remember, guys, freedom starts at home and from within. It is.